Thank you, Brother Vic. Good morning, all. It's nice to see each one of you. You know, I don't think this morning that I'm going to say anything that's outstanding. I don't think I'm going to say anything that you probably haven't heard many times before. But I will tell you that I'm going to say things that are important. Important to our peace and comfort. Important to our well-being. Important to our life and our association with Christ. And most importantly, probably important to our soul's salvation. We come here this morning to be fed. We come here this morning to learn how to come closer to God. On how to prepare our lives and live our lives to attain eternal life. And that is our job from the time we are accountable until the day we die. So I pray this morning that we're just not taking up space. That we are here for an important reason. If I put a title on my sermon this morning, it's just the Book of Messiah. One of my favorite books in the Book of Mormon is the Book of Mosiah. And I will probably surprise everyone because I'm not even going to read my favorite scripture out of Mosiah. That doesn't happen to be the subject this morning. I would like to turn to the Book of Mosiah, chapter 1. Verse 52. I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all thanks and praise, which your whole souls have power to possess, to that God who has created you, and has kept and preserved you, and has caused that ye should rejoice, and has granted that ye should live in peace one with another. Yes, we should render all thanks and praise to our God. For our God is great. Our God is forgiving. Our God has given us life. And we have many reasons to praise our Heavenly Father. And as I look out on this congregation this morning, I see many, if not all, who should be offering praise and honor to our God for their blessings. But I also know, and I hear, and I have even done it myself. I have complained. I have at times not been as thankful as I should for those many blessings that God has given me. I have not been as thankful as I should for His watch care, for His leadings, for giving me an opportunity to be here today with you, to give me an opportunity to praise His holy name. An opportunity to talk with those I come in contact with and tell them the goodness of God in my life. So how do we want to be known this morning? As one who praises and thanks His God? Or one who complains about his lot in life? We all have trials. We all have tribulations. We all have those things in our life that tend to discourage us, that tend to overwhelm us even. But we are promised through our Heavenly Father the victory. The victory not only at the last when we die and pass on to paradise, not only that victory, but that victory day to day. That victory over sin. That victory over Satan. These are some of the things we should be thankful for this day. Psalms 30:12 says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks to thee forever." And this is David of old. And he's thanking God for all that He had done for him, David. And this is also not only what we should do, not only our duty to do, but our responsibility also to give praise and honor and thanks to our Heavenly Father to the end of our life. Alma 14:88 says, "Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to His praise. Yea, let us give thanks to His holy name. For He doth work righteousness forever." Praise and honor and thanks. And I believe that as I get older, I realize this more and more. I realize how fragile this life is. I realize how quickly it can come to an end. And how that opportunity to praise Him and honor Him in this life might end. My neighbor behind me, 71 years old, picture of health. Worked in the yard, done anything that you would think a man could do. and had an aneurysm and died this week. Could be you. Could be me. And that then would bring to an end in this life an opportunity to praise and honor our Heavenly Father. Are we going to throw away that opportunity that you and I have to come closer to God through praise and thanksgiving? I'm not asking much. God is not asking much. But He expects and demands our praise and honor and thanksgiving to Him. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And there may be the stickler. There may be the problem for you and I. It says, in everything give thanks. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, I've been in some situations that I find it hard to thank Him for. Have you? But it says, in everything give thanks. Psalms 140:13 says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in his presence." Isn't that our goal? Isn't that our desire? To dwell in the presence of our Heavenly Father? And one of the ways that you and I can do that, one of the ways that we can get there, is to give Him praise and honor. And I dare say, that's probably where we fall down. For you and I tend to look at the dark side. You and I tend to think about those things that happen to us that are not pleasant. We tend to think of our trials. We tend to think of our troubles. And we forget to bless Him and thank Him for those good things that He does for you and I daily. And they may not be great and marvelous. They may not be earth-shaking. You know, I look out in this congregation and I see those whose life has been saved through the power of God. You know, I believe I'm one of them. And when that happened, I thanked my Heavenly Father, oh, greatly. I was so thankful that He gave me a few more days on this earth. But there has been so many blessings that I have had that may not be as strong or great, but just as important, that I have failed to praise His name for, that I have failed to thank Him for. Praise and honor and thanksgiving be unto the Lord forever and ever. Mosiah 9:56. It makes a commandment when it says, "And he commanded them that they should observe the Sabbath and keep it holy," and also a further commandment, adding on to keeping the Sabbath holy. He's making this part of a commandment, that every day should give thanks to their God. So he's commanded you and I that every day, not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night when we meet together and some stand and praise God, but every day. Every day we're to praise Him. Every day we're to thank Him. Fifty-third verse. First chapter of the book of Messiah. "I say unto you that if ye should serve him who has created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will and even supporting you from one moment to another." This is what God is doing for you and I. And did you notice one of the things He gives us to do is the right to do our own will? So we have a right not to thank Him. We have a right not to praise Him. But when we do so, then we have broken one of His commandments. "I say unto you, if you should serve Him with all your whole soul, ye would be unprofitable servants." So, we can obey His commandments, do His will, give to the poor, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, go out into the world to try to spread His gospel, talk to our neighbors and our friends about Jesus Christ and the gospel. We can do all these things and still be unprofitable servants unless we give Him praise and honor and thanksgiving. Those things then make us profitable servants. We were made by God to serve Him. And this is our whole duty. Our duty in this life is to serve God. And yet, you and I do it. We go about this life serving our own needs, serving our own desires, putting self first. When we are told that it is our whole duty to serve God. So you and I are falling down. You and I are not doing the things that God wants us to do. Luke 4:8. Says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." And this begs a question, does it not? Who are we serving this day? You know, I have to look at my life. I have to look within me and say, who am I serving? What battle am I fighting? Whom is my master? You need to ask yourself that same question. Are we today, as the Church of Christ, as His people here on earth, are we serving Him? Is God today looking down upon us with pleasure? I believe that any time that we put self before God, we then quit serving Him and start serving ourselves. And I dare say that probably a lot of us here this day do that. A lot of us here this day serve self instead of our Heavenly Father. I'm going to turn to Matthew. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's pretty strong words. That should cut us. That should get our attention. That should make us ask ourselves, who are we serving? God or mammon? Who is our king? Who is our commander? Who is our leader? Who will give us eternal life? Can we serve mammon and attain eternal life? Can we serve mammon and get that peace and comfort that can only come from God? I say unto you, no, we cannot. But you will notice here, you're given a choice. You can do your own will. You can serve God, or you can serve mammon. It's not forced upon you in any way. God will not force anyone to follow Him. We must want to do it. We must want to serve God. We must have that desire here within us that He will be first place. God will support you. God will lead you. God will watch over you. And you, each one, have a testimony of one of these things. Each one of you have been watched over. Each one of you have been led. Each one of you have been supported. Each one of you have been comforted or held up or kept from harm and danger. And knowing this, then why are we not praising Him daily? Then why are we not thanking Him daily? Verse 55. And behold, all that He requires of you. All that He requires of you. He's going to tell you here. Is to keep His commandments. And He has promised you that if ye would keep His commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. Now, I know you're going to say, well, that promise was given to the Nephites. Brothers and sisters, that promise comes to us also. So it behooves you and I to keep His commandments. And He never doth vary from that He has said. No, He don't change. He don't change. He's the same as He always was. And He told the Nephites that He would prosper them in the land if they keep His commandments. And He's telling you and I today that we will prosper in the land if we keep His commandments. Brother Jay and I went to the Philippines 2001. And we come in contact with the poorest people that I have ever seen. They have more problems than I have ever seen. That suffered more than anyone I have ever seen. And now today, 9 years later, those same people are so much better off. Not only spiritually, physically, financially, they have prospered in the land. Those who keep His commandments. Living proof, to me anyway, that these promises of God are the same today as they were yesterday. You know, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? You know, all you have to do is keep His commandments. It sounds easy. But I'll be the first one to tell you, it's not that easy. Satan has power. Satan has power to tempt you and I. And he also knows those things that we would be tempted by. You know, it may be a few more dollars in my pocket. It may be that I'd like to drive a brand new car. Whatever it is that separates us from God, separates us from the power of Christ, is of the devil. and will tend to draw us away. And it is by the power of Satan that you and I don't praise Him every day. It is by the power of Satan that we don't give Him thanksgiving every day. He puts that little thing in your mind, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll be sure to stand up Wednesday night and praise His holy name. That's Satan working in our lives to try to separate us from our Lord and Savior. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." In the book of Alma, 17th chapter, 44th verse. And He said, "If ye will keep My commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But if ye keep not My commandments, ye shall be cut off from My presence." There's not a one here this morning that wants to be cut off. Not a one. "And now remember, My son, that God has entrusted you with these things, which are sacred, which He has kept sacred, and also which He will keep and preserve for a wise purpose in Him, that He may show forth His power unto future generations." He has preserved this book for you and I to show forth the power of God. And we should be thankful for this. Each day we should thank God for the preservation of this Book of Mormon. "And now behold, I tell you by the spirit of prophecy, that if ye transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God, and ye shall be delivered up unto Satan." That's not our desire, is it? We don't want to be delivered unto Satan. We want to spend our time with God. "But if you keep the commandments of God and do these things which are sacred, according to that which the Lord doth command you, for you must appeal unto the Lord for all things, whatsoever ye must do with them, behold, no power of earth or hell can take them from you. For God is powerful to the fulfilling of all His words." And God has said many things. God has given you and I many, many promises. It says here, He's going to fulfill His words. He's going to keep His promises to you and I. In the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, starting with the 12th verse, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know, I believe that I can say that today about this group. Here are they who are the children of God. Here are they who keep the commandments. Here are they who are going to reap the benefits of the love of God. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. How are our works today? Are we doing the works that God requires of you and I? The works that will gain us a place in the heavenly realm? Verse 57, Mosiah, first chapter. And now in the first place, he hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted to him. You know, he's the one that's given us life. He is the reason that you and I are here today. Each one of us here today is because God has granted it. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he commanded you, for which if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. Each one of us has felt that blessing, haven't we? Each one of us has been paid of God when he blesses us. We have all been blessed. Blessed exceedingly, above any other. Above any other. In the book of Mosiah, first chapter, 119th verse. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. And then I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians. Second chapter, starting with verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What a great and marvelous promise. We can't even imagine. We can't imagine what's been prepared for you and I. Yeah, this brain is not big enough. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And I pray this morning that you and I have not received the spirit of man. That you and I have not received the spirit of the world. But that you and I are being led by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit is the Spirit that we allow to take control of our bodies. Which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teacheth, for which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So if we have the world in us, if we're serving mammon, we're not able to receive those spiritual things of God. We have to let the Spirit of God take control of our lives. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You and I need to have that spiritual discernment. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? The Bible tells us we're to become as little children. Mark 10:15 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Then I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Read verses 3 and 4. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. First, it says we need to be converted. Converted to what? Converted to whom? Converted to Jesus Christ and converted to His Word. Converted to Jesus Christ. Converted to His church. After which, ye shall become as a little child. Become as a little child in trust. Become as a little child in love. Become as a little child in obedience. That's the path that you and I need to take. I'm going to go to the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mormon. The 4th chapter. Verse 93 and 94. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanliness, ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. It's what you and I need to do this morning. Serve that true and living God. Out of life's misery, born of man's sins, a fuller, richer life begins. For when we are helpless with no place to go, and our hearts are heavy and our spirits are low, if we place our poor, broken lives in God's hands and surrender completely to His will and demand, and darkness lifts and the sun shines through, and by His touch we are born anew. So praise God for trouble that cuts like a knife, and disappointments that shatter your life. For with patience to wait and faith to endure, your life will be blessed and your future secure. For God is but testing your faith and your love before He appoints you to rise for above. All the small things that so surely distress you, for God's only intention is to strengthen and bless you. Thank you very much.